Blog Talk Radio.
Rejoice and be glad in it, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. You are indeed listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, December the 4th, 2022. Hallelujah. Now, I am Bishop Shalene Cook, but as always, I am joined by some beautiful and anointed servant leaders in the persons of Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Minister Gladys McGee, Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Apostle Zeta Flowers, amen. We have in the house with us this morning Minister Tina Brown and Evangelist Michelle Scott. So on behalf of all of us here this morning in the sanctuary and all of us and all of our other listeners that are in the sanctuary this morning, we just want to welcome you to this morning's service. We pray that you will hear something on today that will uplift your spirit and truly bless your soul. But right now we are going to go to opening prayer with Minister Gladys McGee. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop. Oh, Lord. Giving God all praise, honor, and glory this morning for waking us up this morning. We know that it was not that alarm clock that woke us up, nor that knock at that door, but it was Jesus that sounded the alarm in our body that woke us up this morning. And we give him praise for that. Praise and honor for that. Lord, we just thanking you for this service on today, Father God, Lord. We ask that it go decent and in order, Father God, Lord. Most of all, that someone hears something that ministers to their mind and their soul, Father God, Lord, and want them to pick up and follow you, Father God, Lord. I pray, Father God, Lord, that all is well with everyone and everyone know that their worries are already handled. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Here we go.
Amen.
I needed your grace more than I thought I ever would. You forgave more than I thought you ever could. I was stronger in my head, but truth is I need your grace. I need your grace more than I thought I
Psalmist Jonathan McReynolds singing grace. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And each and every Sunday morning, we have our very own mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, who faithfully comes and reads to us from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. So now, my brothers and sisters, please retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to the most beloved mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. I love each and every one of you, no matter how near or how far. The meditational reading this morning is entitled, Set Your Love Upon Jesus. We'll be looking at words from Psalm 91, verse 14, which reads, Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Now, Jesus was in the house in Bethany when a woman came to him with an alabaster flask containing very costly fragrant oil. She poured the oil on his head. Read about that in Matthew 26, verses 6 and 7. This woman loved the Lord. She had set her love upon him. But those who were present considered what she did a great waste, because the oil could have been sold for an amount equal to 1 year's wages, and the money given to the poor instead. Even Jesus' disciples were indignant and asked her, Why this waste? See verse 8. But Jesus defended her, saying, Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. Verse 10. Not only that, he accorded her the highest honor when he added, Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Verse 13. 2,000 years have passed since this woman anointed Jesus with the expensive oil. She never expected in her wildest dreams that her act of love would be told down through the ages. Many kings and rulers have come and gone. Their great acts have faded from the memories of men. But what this woman did for Jesus is still told today around the world as a memorial to her. When you get a revelation of how much Jesus loves you, you will set your love upon him. And when you act out of love for him, though others may see it as waste of time, energy, and money, he will defend you and deliver you from your crisis, from your critics. He will also set you on high. Your ministry will become powerful and life-changing. Your work will be highly esteemed among your peers. Your company will be prominent and highly successful. And it will not just be a job that you have, but a position of influence to impact many lives. So set your love upon Jesus. Make him the love of your life today, and he will defend, deliver, and set you on high. Glory to God. May the Lord add blessings of favor upon the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his righteous and holy word. Thoughts
Amen.
For the day, when you set your love upon Jesus and act out of love for him, he will defend, deliver, and set you on high. Amen.
You still love me. In spite of me, still chose me. How can it be? Every scar, every flaw, you see it all, you see it all. You still love me, love me, yeah, in spite of me. In spite of me. Every T, I don't dot every I. Got more flaws than a little, and I messed up a thousand times. I don't always commit. Sometimes I give up way too quick, and then I get tired of trying to run away from who I am, to who I wanna be. Some days are better than others. I can be up and I'm down, but see, I'm not ashamed. Found in your grace, and this one thing will never change. You still love me, in spite of me. Woo! You still chose me, how can it be? Every scar, every flaw, you see it all, you see it all. You still love me, oh, in spite of me. I'm stubborn at heart, quick to put up a guard. Do it all by myself, I won't ask for help. Sometimes my mouth is smart, I can be insecure. Counting other people's blessings, never stop to notice what I got. Some days are better. Found in your grace, this one thing will never change.
You still love me,
in spite of me. You still chose me.
You still chose me.
How can it be?
How can it be?
Every scar,
every scar,
every flaw, you see it all. You see it all. You still love me.
You have a choice.
God. That is the beautiful psalmist and first lady, Tasha Cobb Leonard, singing In Spite of Me. Oh, hallelujah. It is now prayer time here at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a time when we as a family come together with one heart set, one mindset, touching and agreeing on one accord, standing in the gap for our brothers and sisters, not just in the United States, but for our brothers and sisters all over this world, because we know and understand if we're going through it over here, our brothers and sisters all around this world are also suffering the same things, hoping the same things, need the same things. And we here at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience, when we pray believing that God can and will do exactly what he says he will do. Because why? He is a promise keeper. We know we serve a God that will wipe away our tears. He stays close to the brokenhearted, and he pities every groan. So right now, we want you to just clear your minds and prepare to come into agreement with God's anointed apostle, Apostle Zeta Flowers, as she takes us to God's throne of grace. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, bow our hearts and our heads as we go into prayer. Father God, we come to you this morning, as always, thanking you for just being who you are. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for all that you continue to do for us, your children. And we thank you for using us for the building of your kingdom. We come to you this morning, Lord, thanking you for answered prayer. Thanking you, Lord, for those that you have risen up once again to serve you and to live for you. We ask, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way across this nation as we continue to look to you for healings, miracles, breakthroughs, in the name of Jesus. We ask that you would move, Lord, in a mighty way in those, Lord, that are continuing to do evil. We ask, Lord, that you would turn many around, that they would come to you in the pardoning of their sins, that they will repent in Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus. We come against the spirit of murder, not only in our communities, but it's broad. It's all across the nation. We ask, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way. We ask, Lord, that you would touch those, Lord, that are victims, the victims of murder, victims of all kinds of crimes. those that are continuing to be abused. We ask, Lord, that you would move in these areas in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We also lift up the abusers, asking, Lord, that somehow they will be reached in the name of Jesus by your love, that they will turn around in Jesus' name. They will no longer want to hurt the innocent ones. We ask also, Lord, that you would move in the areas of suicide. We come against the spirit of suicide. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask, Lord, that you would move, hallelujah, that you would touch those that even have that on their heart to commit suicide. We ask, Lord, that you would protect, that you would send somebody, hallelujah, to minister to their needs, that they may have a change of mind and a change of heart. In the mighty name of Jesus, that somebody will instill hope to them. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. So we bind these spirits, and we call forth the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we lift up those that are unsaved. We ask, Lord, that they will know you in the pardon of their sins. Not only our own families, but others. In the name of Jesus, we lift up all the unsaved everywhere. In Jesus' name, that their lives will be changed, they will be transformed, that they will be touched, that they will have a mind and a will to live for you and to serve you. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, those that are bound in prisons and jails and juvenile halls, we pray, Lord, that there will be a great visitation, that they will be touched, that they will be healed, that they will be saved in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. And those, Lord, that will have their freedom, we pray, Lord, that they will not just be free on their own, but they will be nurtured and that they will be taught your ways, that they will know you and have a relationship with you, God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray for those, Lord, that have been in prison and jail so long, Lord, that they have even passed their sentence time. We pray, Lord, that you would move in their behalf, that you would have your way, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Touch the brokenhearted everywhere.
Yes, Lord.
And those, Lord, that are suffering through grief over their loved ones, through natural disasters, war, sicknesses, diseases, and all of these things, Lord. And we pray your hand of protection upon us, Lord, as we hear that the viruses are again on the rampage. We ask, Lord, that we would be protected in the name of Jesus, that people will take precaution in Jesus' name and do what they need to do in order to not contract any of these diseases or viruses. Pray for your hand of protection upon us all in Jesus' name. We pray for those that are sick and shut in today. We ask, Lord, that you would visit them, that they will feel your presence, that they will accept you, those that haven't. And those that have, we pray, Lord, that they will, that their faith will be heightened, that they will become believers of you, God, in the name of Jesus, that they will trust you, that they will believe that you can and that you will. So we pray for healings this morning. Pray for miracles. In the mighty name of Jesus, We pray for breakthroughs. Those that are feeling stuck, we pray, Lord, that you will give them freedom. We pray that you will raise them up again, that they will put their trust in you, God, and not in man. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. We pray for our children everywhere, for their safety, in the schools, in our homes, and everywhere, God, in the child care centers, and everywhere that they may be, we pray your hand of protection on them, Lord, in Jesus' name. And those children that are with parents, Lord, that are unloving, we pray for them, too, that they will be safe, that you will watch over and that you will guard them. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we just lift up those that are suffering from not enough food. We pray, Lord, that you will provide. In Jesus' name. And with all the threats of food shortages, we know that you are a God of plenty. Because you own everything. We pray, Lord, that you will be our provider as you are and as you have been.
Yes,
and
Lord.
Pray for those that are worried and,
yes,
and are
Jesus,
filled with anxiety. We pray that you would touch them, Lord.
Yes.
That you would let them know that through you, Lord, that there is hope. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We lift up all of the ministries.
Yes,
Hallelujah.
Lord. Bless them, oh God.
Connected and that are listening in this morning. And we pray, Lord, that you would move in a mighty way. Spirit of Live Ministries, as we always do. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to move in the name of Jesus. And bless the leader. Apostle Shirley and Cook.
Yes,
and pray that you will continue to give her the strength that she needs in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to provide and to the overflow in the name of Jesus. And if there's any sick among us this morning, we ask, Lord, that you would touch. That you would touch each one, God. In the name of Jesus, that you would move in a mighty way. Hallelujah. That you would grant the needs of each and every one. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, amen and amen.
For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Yeah.
The goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God.
And First Lady C.C. Winans singing about the goodness of God. It is now time for this morning's message. Hallelujah. So as my family very well knows, I'm now going to tell all of you, please, if you have not retrieved your Bible, turn to the book of Acts. Hallelujah. We are still on our transformational journey through the book of Acts, and today we are going to be looking at chapter 15, verses 1 through 21. Now, I know some of you that hear me preach, you might be asking yourself, well, Apostle, why do you take the time to read all of that scripture every Sunday? Because you yourself we've heard you say there's BibleGateway.com and almost everybody has access to the Word of God. Well, I read the Word of God because, beloved and little literate one, everyone cannot read. So when it comes to the Word of God, I'm going to read it so that everyone will know what it says. Because when they translate this service into languages that will go out all over the world, whether people can read or whether they can't, I want them to know that we here at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience, we love the Lord and we love them. So once again, we're going to be looking at Acts 15, chapter 1, verses 1 through 21. And the word of God reads as follows. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversation of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders. And they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of a sect of Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the heart, bears them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, that why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Then all the multitude kept quiet, and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the word of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all the works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornications and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day.
Amen.
May God here add a blessing to the hearers, doers, and the readers of his holy and righteous word.
Amen.
And I just want to give honor first and foremost to my God and my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is definitely the head of my life, and to all of you, God's elect. You know, I don't know all of the concerns of churches around the globe, but I can tell you what the main concern of the brothers and sisters here at Spirit Alive is, and that is that we make disciples, that we edify the body of Christ, and that we reach the lost for Christ so that we all might live a more abundant life in him. But thanks to God, as I have sat back and prayerfully observed the church, I must say that some of us are doing way too much. Some of us are truly confusing folks. And some of us, we just don't have our priorities in the right place, because I know and understand that life can be pretty complicated with all of our relationships, our problems, our bills, our debts, our kids, those aging parents, siblings, politics, taxes, all of this stuff can get all tangled up together into a big blurry mass of confusion and complexity. But thanks to God, I came to tell you this morning, there is something that should always remain unadulteratedly uncomplicated. And that's the way God loves us. You see, the way God loves us is so simple that it confounds us. It amazes us. It leaves us in awe. It blows us away.
Amen.
But this morning, I want us to stop and reflect and learn to always remember this. God's grace is amazingly simple. And this passage that we just read gives us clear indicators of how simple God's grace really is. See, the first thing I want us to all understand is that God's grace, it travels light. Look at what it says in verse 1 and 2. Some men came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. Okay, this brought Paul and Silas right up out of their seats and into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed along with some other believers to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this matter. I want to tell every blood-washed believer within the sound of my voice and that will listen to this service and rebroadcast. Every blood-washed believer has got to understand that there's not supposed to be a whole lot of baggage strapped to the message of God's grace and forgiveness. So I will never understand why some people always try to add something to what Jesus did on the cross for us. Let me tell you something. It is not Jesus plus good works equals salvation. It is not Jesus plus attending the right church equals salvation. It is not Jesus plus believing the right doctrine equals salvation. For you see, Jesus plus anything does not equal salvation, because God's eternal word declares, Apostle Zeta, amen, in Acts 4:10-12, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom he crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
Let me explain something here, everybody, this morning. When we try to use man's math with God's grace, it presents a distorted picture of who God is and what he expects from mankind.
Yeah.
So some of you are looking saying, so what you saying, Apostle? Should we do good works and attend church and believe the right things Yes, of course you should. But you also need to know that salvation is a free gift from God, church.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, you need to know that salvation cannot be earned, nor is it deserved. That's why God's grace is called his unmerited favor. Ephesians 2:8-9 lets us know that we are saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, thanks to God, we can't go around qualifying God's grace by saying it only works if. No. You see, the only conditions for receiving God's grace are faith and sincerity. But you see, receiving God's grace means we're entering into a relationship with him. We're entering into a love walk with him. We're not signing some cold contract that contains hidden clauses and additional requirements or fine print. No. You see, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Having said that, let me also say that true faith will result in action. Faith without actions or works is called dead faith in the Bible. The action of faith is obedience to God's revealed will and to the voice of his almighty, all-knowing Holy Spirit that's living on the inside of you. So let me just explain something to people this morning. You need to be really, really careful. As a matter of fact, you need to start praying. If you hear someone adding clauses to the good news about Jesus, because Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Notice how that sentence does not end with a comma or a dash or a conjunction of any kind. That sentence ended with a period. Ha! Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord and only the name of the Lord will be saved, point blank, period. Which brings me to our second point of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God's grace is a cause for celebration, saints. Look at verse 3 and 4. The church sent them on their way, and as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. Now, but this news made all of the brothers glad. And when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, to whom they reported everything. Did you hear that? Everything God had done through them.
Glory to God.
See? Now, has anybody besides me noticed that those who were concerned with codes, laws, regulations, and methods are not shown celebrating this passage? Come to think of it, you don't read about them sharing the good news about Jesus either. The only time you hear about them is when they are trying to make salvation more difficult than it really is.
Yes.
You see, the believers in the church, however, they were glad when they heard about the salvation of the Gentiles. They were connected with God's heart enough to know that right there, Gentiles coming unto him, made him very happy. Now, I know we've been doing this now for over 13 years, and I know you have often heard me make reference to the prodigal son from Luke 15. But if you have not, let me just run it down to you again. This son wanted everything that his father was going to give to him right then and there on the spot. And thanks to God, new converts, after this disrespect, disrespectful, wasteful, party animal, had burned all his bridges. He came crawling back home to his father, not to mention whom he had disgraced. But here is something that is absolutely miraculous. The father's response was phenomenal. Because instead of telling that son, I told you so. Instead of telling that son, I knew you'd be back. Instead of telling that son, you made your bed, now lay in it. What did that father do? He threw a party for that son who was lost. It didn't matter that his son smelled like pigs. He'd come home. It didn't matter that he had become a homeless bum. The lost son had been found and was now home. Yes. Now, let me just mention that not everybody was as excited as the father was about the return of his son. But you need to know and understand, not everybody loves the way a father can love. See,
man,
this is an absolute snapshot of God's love for us. You see, God's grace, it brings lost people home. And the way he does it, it is absolutely amazing. It is a call for celebration. Luke 15:10 says, there is joy and rejoicing in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. Hallelujah. God's grace is a call for celebration. And we should never stop celebrating. That's why we can sing that verse 4 that you see in Amazing Grace. It says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. You see, God's grace doesn't get old. It doesn't get worn out. His mercies are new every day. So let us keep on celebrating his grace. Let's keep celebrating Christ in all that we say and in all that we do. Let us all be living, breathing, walking, and talking epistles of God's grace. Hallelujah. Because we have a real powerful message to share, which brings me to point 3. And that is that God's grace alone is the basis for our forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Let's look at the word, verses 5 through 11, shall we? Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses. Now, the apostles and elders met to consider this question. See, they didn't get to hot announce their responses to the Pharisees right then. What they did, because they understood already that the Pharisees really didn't understand the things of God. So what they did is after the word of God says, after much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. And he said, brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he purified their hearts with faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the disciples a yoke that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear? No, Lord, we believe through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are. Now, as we see the events of the Jerusalem Council played out in our text, it might help us to understand a little bit about this, the background. See, it may have been as much as a decade earlier, around 39 or 40 A.D., that Peter had gone to Cornelius' house in obedience to the Holy Spirit and had shared the good news about Jesus with him and his household. Now, they all believed on Jesus and were filled with the Holy Spirit, just like the Jews had been. Peter brought the report back to Jerusalem, but the issue of Gentile salvation had not come until the full fruition until now. The church had not settled the issue, and it is apparent that these Christians who belonged to the party of the Pharisees had completely disregarded Peter's report about God giving the full package of salvation to the Gentile Cornelius and his household without any mention now or requirement of keeping the Jewish law. So Peter finds it necessary to remind them of this in verse 7 through 11. He sums it up in 11. He says, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are.
Yeah.
Only by the grace of Jesus are we forgiven.
Yeah.
Again, when we try to add anything to God's grace, it dilutes it. It distorts it. It taints it. And saints, we must be able to discern it when we see it. I don't know about you, but see, I need some of that pure grace in my life. I need that real thing that is better than Coke, that's better than Campbell's soup. I need that real grace, not some watered down, artificially enriched blend of grace. And finally, somebody needs to know today that God's grace always produces freedom. Verses 12 through 21. The whole assembly became quiet as they listened to Barnabas and Paul, telling about the miraculous signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. When they finished, James spoke up. Brothers, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God at first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for himself. The word of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written. After this, I will return and rebuild David's fallen temples. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, and the remnant of men may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things that have been known for ages. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of the strangled animals, and from blood. For Moses has been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath.
Amen.
We can see Peter, Paul, and Barnabas shared about how the good news about Jesus had set people free. You see, many had repented of their sins, and they had truly found God's forgiveness. Others had been healed of sickness, disease, or other physical problems, because as Apostle Zeta reminded us all last week, the gospel or the good news about Jesus brings about life, and it brings about hope. You see, the word, Jesus, the logo, is saved, the word heals, the word restores, and that word transforms. Hallelujah. Just look at how Jesus viewed his mission on this earth. Luke 4:18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed. This was the same kind of mission Jesus had sent his disciples on. You see, they were to minister light and freedom to those who were in darkness and bondage. up. You see, because they were doing all of this in love. And at this time, they did not feel like keeping 630 commandments on the Gentiles was in the best interest of freedom. No. Now,
Man.
What about the four prohibitions James gives? You know, because in one sense, James may have been seeking to preserve the unity of the church by throwing a few bones to the believing Jews. Both groups would need to do some giving and taking in order to preserve this unity. Then verse 24, one appears to give a final unifying word. Because to the Jews, he is saying, should the Gentiles wish to know more about the Mosaic law and become more Torah observant, they can do so without you forcing it on them as an additional requirement to salvation. To the Gentile Christians, he was saying, please respect your Jewish brothers who observe these Mosaic ordinances. But the bottom line is that the grace of God frees us to become who we were meant to be. God's plan for each of us is that he wants us to get real close to him and find out our purpose in him and begin living out that purpose. We want our desires to mirror his desires. And then while we're doing that, please, brother Christian, sister Christian, let's not go around putting stumbling blocks in other people's way. Let's not be doing those things that hinder others from really discovering who Christ is. Okay?
Yeah.
And because always what you say. It's how you say it.
Yeah.
And like I said, God's grace is simple. Jesus died for sinners. Newsflash, we have all sinned. But the word of God declares, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Point blank.
Yeah.
Period. Listen.
Glory
when we
God.
Truly know God, when we are quick to forgive faults because we understand that God forgives us, and when we also know that people can only do what they have been taught, people cannot give from us what is, give out of themselves what's not in there, then we will not judge or condemn them because God's grace gives us the freedom to love without fear. Hallelujah. It gives us the power to build up instead of tearing down. And let me just remind everybody that Jesus, the Logos, nor his blood never loses its power. We are free to share the news of the gospel of Jesus Christ any and everywhere that we go. And let me just say that even those that can't openly praise God, they are still finding a way. Listen, we don't have to add anything to the good news because, again, let me remind us all of something. God's word was in the beginning. And God's word will be standing at the end. What we need to remember is this. God's grace travels life. We don't need to run around trying to get the opinions of others about God's word when we have God's spirit living on the inside of us. All we have to do is believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way to everything that we could ever need, and he is more than we could ever dream of. This is why God's grace is a cause for celebration. just knowing that Jesus has already paid it all just for me, just knowing that when I need his grace the most, it will always be there. Oh, hallelujah. Just knowing that his love is unconditional and eternal makes me want to praise him with the gladness as I continually live by faith. I celebrate Christ being in my life by serving him in love, by embracing my trials so that I might have wisdom and the patience to always understand that it is only through sharing the good news of Jesus Christ that I might bring joy to this world, because God's grace alone is the basis of our forgiveness. Oh, I don't know about you, saints of God, but I'm so glad that God loves me in spite of me. It doesn't matter how badly I feel I've blown. You know, in those times when I have been disobedient, in those times when I have questioned God, in those times when I may have had a couple of Jonah moments, I still know that I can go to God. I can sincerely repent and allow his grace to change me, allow his grace to make me brand new, allow his grace to transform me. I don't care how much the enemy tries to tell me that I am unlovable. I know that's a lie straight from the pit of hell, because again, Jesus the Logos says otherwise. Oh, glory to his name. John 3:16 declares that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting, everlasting, never ending, without end, going on forever, infinity to beyond. Now, just knowing that should produce a freedom that rings in your very soul. Hear me this morning, somebody. Jesus says to you today, you have been enslaved to your sin long enough. You have been a captive of the darkness long enough. Today I have come to let you know that I, Jesus, the Logos, became flesh. I hung, I bled, and I died, and I rose to set you and all captives free. Will you take my hand today and let me show you the way? And then in this ever so sweet voice, you might also hear Jesus say, look, you don't have to be afraid. You will have my word to guide you and my spirit within you. You don't have to be what you think a Christian should be, because you're learning who you are in me. So just be yourself and trust me to do the work. I will teach you my word. I will teach you how to be obedient, because I will teach you how to be humble and grateful. Are you willing to receive my gift of salvation?
Yeah.
Are you willing to come out of the darkness into my marvelous light?
Yeah.
And beloved, what do you think? And some of you might be sitting there thinking to yourself, well, why would Jesus do that? You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know who I've jacked up and messed over. You don't know. Well, hello, say hello to the goodness of God.
Yes, he knows.
Because instead of giving you what you deserve, instead of making your life a living hell, he sent his only begotten son to come and die for your sins, so that you might be reconciled back to him. In a few moments, I'm going to have, hallelujah,
someone come and they're going to lead you in the plan of salvation. Hallelujah. But right now, I just want to say I pray that you truly receive something from this message today. And I'm
Amen.
Going to ask Pastor Vanessa to come forth and seal it with prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Pastor.
I'm here, Bishop. Apostle Cook. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, sweetheart. Now we can't hear you.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
I apologize for that. Thank you for that awesome message, Apostle Cook. I pray and I thank you, Father God, today for the reading and the hearing of your word, for the vessel that poured into us tonight, today. I thank you, Lord, today for grace. I thank you for her giving us an understanding of what your word says and things that have already been set in motion as it pertains to our salvation, as it pertains to our daily walk. I thank you, Lord, today for releasing the power of your word and that it will sit with us and on us, Father God, and be with us throughout the week, that it will be fruitful application in our life and manifestation. I pray, Lord, today as well, those who are struggling with understanding what their salvation looks like. The woman of God did an awesome job, but I thank you, Lord, today that I continue to pray and intercede for those who are being talked out of the benefits of their salvation right now. And as she was preparing, bringing the word forth, I heard the Lord say there are those in the body of Christ who are struggling and being talked out of truth as it pertains to their walk, as it pertains to their confession daily based on what they confess in your word. And I thank you, Lord, today for you once again opening up the eyes of their understanding right now that they not be bewitched or be seduced out of what you have already said.
Yes, Jesus.
Strengthen them, Lord, today mentally and emotionally, Father God. Heal any place of wounded and impediments and afflictions that have kept them from believing what you said. Even if it comes to the things that they deal with every day, the stresses of life, or some new person who's in their life that's speaking lies to them right now, I come against those relationships, Father God, that you reveal what they are and that people begin to once again visit, not just visit, but abide in your word so that they will believe. And I feel this word and that our eyes be open and that we believe in areas where we did not before. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Let the church of God say amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now,
yes.
Just a moment ago, I gave you a scenario of what Jesus might be saying to you this morning. Hallelujah. And the wonderful thing about Jesus, when he knocks at the doors, all you have to do is open it and say yes. We came to remind you this morning that, you know, Christ Jesus there are so many gifts. It's the holiday season and it's people are out rushing about trying to find that perfect gift for that loved one or that best friend. I beseech you to give Jesus the only gift he has ever wanted this holiday season. That's you. You know, allow him to come into your life. Make him your Lord and Savior. Then we want you to study to show yourself approved. We want you to join with people that truly love the Lord, that can nurture you and help grow you up. So as Pastor Vanessa said, the enemy can't come along and steal your benefits. The enemy can't come along and keep you in shame. The enemy can't come along and keep you in your woundedness. The enemy can't come along and keep you bound up in those addictions and those afflictions. The enemy can do nothing to you when you are surrounded by people that love you and that love God, just as you love God. And you know, there's not a long drawn out process for you to have all access. All you need to do is say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. So please forgive me of my sins, because right now I repent. My very last one of them. Lord, come into my life and save me for your name's sake. And then teach me. Teach me who you want me to be. Teach me how to be obedient. Teach me how to be loving. Teach me how to be unafraid, so that I might go out and serve you. I pray it in your name, dear Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. And if you prayed that prayer right there, any kind of way, I don't care how you have, you know, you have to make it your own, then let me be, the, on behalf of myself and every anointed servant leader here at the Spirit Alive and the Spirit Alive Sanctuary, we want to say welcome to the family of God. And as I said, or you heard me say earlier in this message, the angels of the Lord rejoice when just one person comes to know Jesus in the pardon of their sin. Won't you be that one today? Won't you be that one, brother? Won't you be that one, sister? Glory to God. Now, if you are sitting in our sanctuary this morning and you would like to have a word, a praise, you know, how God has blessed you by grace. If you just want to tell of the goodness of the Lord, please press your one on your keypad, and that shows up in my studio because I can see each and every one of your phone numbers. And that doesn't matter if you are a member of Spirit Alive or not, because I never put my family on blast. If you would like to have a word this morning, hallelujah, press your ones. But as always, this is still laying on my heart. I'm going to ask Bishop Lester Carver to come forth because with a word and talk to our brethren, because we truly believe, every one of us here believe that we know that God is not pleased when things are out of order. So we're just hoping that our brother Bishop can help our brothers in that area. So Bishop Carver, would you please come forth?
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. I'll tell you this morning the thing that God has on his heart and mind as it pertains to the men of God is to let them all know that he is their heavenly Father, and that when we made his son Jesus Christ our master and our Lord, we came into a place of favor. And God tells us as fathers, many of us are fathers, many of us have had fathers, many of us will be fathers. And God tells us that in being a father, we are not to provoke our children to wrath. We are not to beat the spirit out of our children. We are not to oppress our children. We are to extend to our children the same grace and same mercy that we receive from our Heavenly Father. If God were to bear on us equal to all of our shortcomings, we could not bear it. We would be broken people. And that's why God sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die for each and every one of us. And then he raised his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead to pay for all of our sin and to be able to send the Holy Spirit to dwell within each and every one of us, so that we would have the power within us to be like our Heavenly Father, God Almighty. So we can be gracious. We can be merciful toward our children and not break their spirit, not provoke our children to wrath, no more than God would provoke us to wrath. But to understand that, yes, there is a time of chastening. Yes, there every son of God has been purged and scourged. And to understand that, there is a time of chastening, but not to the extent that you would break the spirit of your child. So God tells us to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We are to allow our children to experience the same grace and mercy that we experience from our Heavenly Father, God Almighty, through the price that His Son, Jesus Christ, paid at Calvary for us. And when we are leading and guiding our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, we are to be loving them, we are to be instructing them, we are to be guiding them, and we are to be chastising them when we see them hit the limit where they're going to do damage to themselves or to others, and let them know that there is a man with a watchful eye over them, protecting them, leading them, guiding them, and comforting them, so that they can know that they are protected in a hostile and vicious world. And for those men who do not have children, but know that there are children that have been assigned to you, whether they are your nieces or your nephews or your cousins or your fellow church members that have women who do not have spouses or husbands that are alive, you are in a place to be able to serve in that proxy role of the father who is dead, the father who is deceased, the father who has abandoned his post and deserted his family. You are able to serve replacement covering, that man of God that God has placed on assignment over those people that God has placed in your proximity. You are that important to God. And as you stand in that place, remember to exhibit the grace and mercy that you receive from God, understanding that you are essential and that God is using you mightily. Apostle Cook, I thank you for this word. I'm going to pray real quick for the men of God.
Amen.
So that they can receive all that God has for them today. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your graciousness, and I thank you for your mercy in our life, God. Father, I thank you for the power and the favor that you give us every day, God. Father, I thank you for the punishment that we never receive from you. Father, I thank you for those times when you just have to handle us because we have gotten out of control. Father, I thank you for you showing us that you're always present and concerned in our life. Father, I thank you for you allowing us to be concerned and present in the lives of those that you've assigned to us. Allow us to be meaningful, active, and necessary in all that we do, understanding that you designed us to be the covering,
yes,
as we submit to the authority of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, allow us to be those coverings that you've called us to be, and allow the fullness of the power of your word to be manifest in each and every one of our lives. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen, and thank you so much, Bishop Carver. Let the Church of God say amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, for those of you that have your hand up, I will address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. We do have a praise. Area code 415, last four digits, 9967. God bless you.
Hi. Glory be to God. I never had a dad, but what today's message reminded me of, because I do have a father.
Yes.
In heaven. And I just wanted to say thank you for that. Just that's an awesome message for that. It's a nice reminder that you still have family, even though it's not the family that stuck around.
Well.
So thank you.
You're welcome.
Amen.
You're welcome, Brother Nichols. You're welcome, my dear brother. No, we're glad that we're here, and that's what we're here for. We want to help people to understand that you're far nearer, closer to the mark than you may be giving yourself credit for. So I just praise God for your comment. I thank you. And we want everyone to understand that God's love extends to each and every one of us. And you know, we just need to receive that grace, receive that free gift of grace through salvation
in Jesus Christ. Now, we still have a few more minutes. If anyone else that was still like that hasn't spoken would still like to speak, if you would kindly press your one, hallelujah, you have time to add your praise to this praise assembly. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to thank everyone that was in our chat rooms today, that was listening via Instagram, that was listening via Skype. Thank you so much. God bless you. And even to all of you that are sitting in the sanctuary, hallelujah. We praise God for each and every one of you because we know that you are hearing the word. Hallelujah. And we know that it is truly the word that transforms us and moves us from glory to glory. So if there be nothing else, hallelujah, we pray that you continue to walk with us here on the Spirit Alive Network. This week I have asked all the Spirit Alive servant leaders that are available to come out and join me along with any of you who are so inclined to come out and stand with us as we stand in the gap for praying for hope and healing at Christmas time, because we have so many people who are going through so much this holiday season. And I just think, we might not can touch every life personally, but we can sure touch a lot of people with our prayers. So tomorrow at 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern Time, please, if you're available, come out and join us for prayer. On Wednesday, you can hear Apostle Zeta Flowers. She is not on hiatus during the month of December, so you can join her for Wednesday night Bible study. Amen. And she will be teaching on obedience. And then on Saturday, Minister Tuggle will be speaking, on at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the summit. So I just want you to know that although we, some of our wonderful hosts are on hiatus, we are still going to be here and offer you something throughout the holiday season. So if there be nothing else, thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to thank everyone once again for coming, especially the anointed servant leaders, Minister Gladys McGee, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Bishop Lester Carver, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Minister Tina Brown, and of course, we're always so happy when any of you will put your praise on it as Brother Nichols did today. Hallelujah. Now, saints of God, may the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, rest, rule, and abide in you greatly. And we just pray from our household to yours that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, that you have a beautiful and blessed week, and that you truly be ye transformed as you go out and help transform the lives of others. You are dismissed. God bless you. Go in peace. And remember, God loves you, and so do we. Have a beautiful, blessed week from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience and the Spirit Alive Network. My beautiful family, you did a phenomenal job. Everybody in the house today, beautiful. Just wonderful. Thank you for coming out and sitting with us in the studio. God bless you. We're so glad you were here. Hallelujah. All right, my family, I will see you all tomorrow if you're so inclined. Love everybody. Have a blessed day.
Love you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.